Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
So it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out. And personally, you guys know, for those of you who've been listening to the show and reading my writing or following me on Twitter, you guys know how I feel about this. Like, this guy is not an NBA head coach, in my opinion.
He might not be. But can I ask you a coaching question, though? This is my concern, right? Like, I understand. I think most people have had Ham fired by February of even last year in some cases. But my concern is they fire Darvin Ham, and then they over kind of index on the experienced coach, and we end up with like a Mike Budenholzer, you know, like in like just the absolute average of coaches. The floor is high, but the ceiling is capped, right? And you just know exactly what it is, and it's a very similar situation. He's from the same, like, he's the tree that spouted Darvin Ham somehow. Yeah, so you know what I mean. So we just like
firing Ham to bring in the tree.
And then Budenholzer brings Hammond as an assistant. It's just like absolute circle of life stuff. But that's because, like, let's be real here. Like, if Darvin is fired, Lakers aren't going through some like coaching search that has a guy like the guy that the Nets just hired, Jordy. Yeah, like those aren't the coaches that the Lakers go after, right? They're just not. Look at our last coaching search. It was Darvin Ham, it was Monty Williams, if I have that correctly. I forgot who was in the search with Darvin exactly, but it was a bunch of just experienced. I think Phil Handy got an interview as well. So, but like, yeah. I just think that, like, if when Darvin gets fired, because it feels more like a when than if, I'm concerned who the next guy is. I'm extremely concerned that it's going to be like a Mike Budenholzer type or a Doc Rivers type if Milwaukee flames out. Do you have those concerns? Do you keep those concerns as well in terms of who the next guy is if and when Ham is fired?
I think my greater concern is I don't know how quickly a coach can implement a culture given that the Lakers need to win next year, right? Next year LeBron's going to be 40. And it's hard to keep on hoping that LeBron is going to be able to, like, we're even watching right now. Like, if we're all Lakers fans are being honest with ourselves right now, right? We would recognize that LeBron had slowed down in this series, right? In the second Pelicans game, he looked gassed in that one too, right? He's 39. Like, of course the guy's going to start slowing down. And it makes it that much more important that you succeed in the margins, and the Lakers have been terrible in the margins. So like it almost, you know, to a certain extent almost doesn't necessarily matter, because, you know, that coach needs to come in and immediately establish a culture. Like, that's actually, to, in my opinion, more reason to hire Handy, because he's been there and he could maybe build off of some of the culture that you would have preferred to establish, rather than, you know, hope somebody comes in and just establishes it in one offseason and one preseason and stuff. But yeah, like, you know, here's my thing, right? It's kind of like it's a version of the conversation we were having about tanking to avoid the Nuggets. I wanted to tank to avoid the Nuggets, even though it was unpopular to do so, because I knew how it was going to go against the Denver Nuggets. You don't necessarily know how it's going to go against the Sacramento Kings, right? Not in the same way that you know it against the Denver Nuggets. Sure. And like firing Darvin Ham, you know how it's going to go if you bring Darvin Ham back next year. You know it. Like, we all know it. You know, LeBron checked out and the rest of the team checked out on Darvin really quickly this year. Basically, as soon as he benched Austin, that was when the majority of the team, and at some point I'll sit down and I'll write out, you know, a full, you know, look back on what led to Darvin Ham losing the locker room. That'll probably be for Lakers Daily. But, you know, that those were the moments, right? When Darvin went away from that core that got him to the Western Conference finals last year, after all preseason, all media day, all off season, everybody was really excited about, you know, building off of the continuity from last year. And then all of a sudden it didn't happen. And that core guys from last year were all looking at each other like, what? Max Christie still can't like sniff the court, right? Like it wouldn't surprise me if we found out that Darvin Ham was out there blocking his shots and shoot-arounds and stuff to make sure he doesn't do anything in any of these games. So like, could you imagine if Darvin is there, like, you know how NBA players will like goaltend to make sure nobody gets into a rhythm? Imagine Darvin doing that with Christie when he's shooting in shoot around. Like he's like putting good strokes on the shot, and Darvin's just like, get that shit out of here, young blood, loser. Cam, come on over here. Show him how it's done. Oh shit.
that's but sad.
Yeah, like I you know, again, I personally think Darvin should be gone after this year. I personally don't think Darvin should have made it through this year. Like you look at some of the quotes that some of the players gave over the course of the season, it was clear that Darvin lost this locker room. And once a coach loses a locker room, yeah, there are going to be like some of those random spurts of energy where like a talented team looks like a talented team, but for the most part, there's not going to be true buy-in. And that's what it looks like when you have Spencer Dinwiddie going 1-on-4 and airballing a layup. That's like that's a player having no regard whatsoever for you know what the coach, you know, implies needs to be done to be successful. And like, you know, the fact that Darvin got here, I think, is a mistake. And if he was kept, I think that would be a much bigger one.
Right. Yeah, it does feel like he'll be gone. And like, again, I always just go back to that one decision of just not starting Rui in time. And that could have kind of flipped your season. There's also a lot of stuff where we just didn't, you know, have these guys playing enough in the lineups that they probably should have been. Jackson Hayes really was out of the rotation for a very long time, just recently got in. And now you have him, you know, in these big spots trying to, you know, contest at the rim against Nikola Jokic or Aaron Gordon. But I think it's just going to come back to, Anthony, the galaxy braining of the lineups early in the year, like benching Austin for Cam Reddish, which kind of worked. Like, I'm sure Darvin saw the in-season tournament win as kind of a justification for that, right? It was kind of like, hey, I put Cam Reddish with the starters, Austin on the bench, D'Lo and Cam Reddish are starting, and you know, we ran through this tournament and we're the 4 seed, and then Cam Reddish turned into Cam Reddish, which is really unfortunate. Like, Cam Reddish was positive for like a good 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks of this season of playing good basketball before, you know, he turned back into the player that's kind of hopped around the league. But yeah, it's just fascinating to go back, and you know, I'm sure you'll dive into all the kind of issues inside the locker room, but just on the court, it's the giving the, you know, and then that strange lineup where he started Cam and Torian and Vando next to LeBron and AD on Christmas Day, I believe, against the best team in the league, Celtics, who ran us off the court pretty quickly on that day. So I'm sure like those are the kind of things that the team will look back on. But in any case, the result is what it is. I think if you get swept or if it's a five gamer against Denver, then he's gone after this season, which again, you just reset this clock again. Like I'm not saying this will happen with Darvin Ham, but I've seen it already. Anthony with Vogel, like people kind of longing for Frank Vogel. Hey, can we, you know, look at Vogel, you know, actually the Suns are down. Well, the Suns are down 1-0. So they still have, you know, hope in that series. But I see people kind of longing for Vogel as well. So Rob Pelinka going after his third. Do we give him credit for Luke, or is that kind of the previous regime? I guess Luke is the previous.
Rob fought to keep Luke.
Okay.
Is the thing. So like, okay. You know, remember Magic kind of told us that, right? Where Magic quit, basically. They, right, air quotes on they, didn't want to fire Luke. And pretty clear at this point that they was Genie. And I think Rob saw that as an opportunity to side with Genie there. And I think that was the beginning of the end of Magic.
Right. But they fired Luke anyway. That's stupid, right?
Like, it's just like with Darvin, right? They fired Frank because he wasn't able to make it work with Russ. Darvin also couldn't make it with Russ, but somehow gets credit for not making it work with Russ. The more that you think about the stuff that the Lakers do, the dumber that it all becomes.
It is.
All right, yeah. Really quickly, before we get out of here, we have a couple things that we have to get to. We have some super comments, and we have some potential availability here across the roster. So Christian Wood is rumored to be potentially on his way back. Excuse me, and Jared Vanderbilt might be on his way back. Ideally,
yeah.
I don't think there's a spot for Wood in this tournament. He's in this series. You know, maybe he outplays Hayes. I just don't see it. Hayes hasn't been great. He's been Jackson Hayes, I would say. And then with Vanderbilt, I think Vanderbilt, I would give him a go over Dinwiddie in this one. I would say you basically sit Dinwiddie, you roll with Gabe, and you see what you can get from Vanderbilt. And you know, if he's moving okay, like essentially what I would ask him to do is like, hey, in those minutes where Jokic is sitting, can you make sure that Aaron Gordon doesn't generate too many extra possessions for Denver here? Just block him out, face guard him, whatever it takes. And make sure that guy doesn't generate a bunch of extra possessions for Denver in those runs, because that's what winds up killing you. Like, Jokic is going to be great. Jamal Murray and Jokic and that starting group is going to be great. But what you can't have is extra possessions for the bench unit to not be terrible, because you need those bench units to be terrible.
Right. And tonight, actually, it wasn't too bad. I think the second chance points was like 10-7. So, and you only held them to around 9 offensive rebounds all game. I was first against the Vanderbilt kind of introducing him into this series. I didn't see a role, but where I think tonight it kind of went down a little bit, like it didn't really get seen in the details. But since you put AD on Jokic, Anthony, we put Rui on MPJ. And I thought MPJ got a little loose, right? And Rui's just not a guy that can. He's not a chaser in that way. So I don't really blame him, but MPJ is a guy that runs around a lot of screens. They run a lot of actions for him. I thought he got loose.
Especially backside actions. That's where Rui really struggles, is if the ball is somewhere else and he's getting back screened so that MPJ can float to the corner, he's losing him.
And maybe that's where you can kind of have Vando, right? Another guy with size who's very agile on his feet when he's healthy. We'll see what, you know, he looks like coming back with no conditioning either. But, you know, a guy you can throw an MPJ with some size. So, again, like, you're kind of running out of bullets here. So maybe Vando's just one you can try and use to give you some kind of spark in game three or whenever he's rumored to come back. But I'm not with the Christian Wood kind of insertion. I just don't see a role. I don't see a role.
It's tough. It's tough to ask somebody who has missed multiple months to go in and play with the season on the line. Like, that's right. It's just really difficult, right? That was the concern with Gabe too. All right, let's go through some of the super comments here before we get out of here. Again, almost 7,000 people here tuned in for this show, and I greatly appreciate it. Please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button. All of those good things. Justin Tindall writing. So Ham keeps his job when we get swept again. D'Lo hit 7 threes. AD was 14 out of 15 at one point, yet still can't win a game against them. We'll be down double digits after the first quarter of game 3. I would say that pretty much sums it up. Reporters don't normally do this. And I might be getting myself in a little bit of trouble here by doing this, but a lot of times when a team is getting ready to do something, they will test balloon it, right? They'll throw that out there and they'll see what the response to that decision could possibly be. And also, sometimes when there are people in an organization who disagree with a potential decision, what they might do sometimes is leak that potential decision so that the people who would make that controversial decision see what the response to it might be. And I think that's some of what we've had, you know, over the last like 12 hours of my reporting, right? Is, I think there are enough people in the Lakers organization who don't believe in Darvin Ham, basically making it known, hey, are we sure about this? Like, are we really willing to incur that kind of heat from the fan base for this guy? Like, is that really something that we're interested in doing? And look, as we get new information, some new information being a potential sweep here, right? As we get new information, obviously the story is going to change. But I will acknowledge that some of the information that I threw out there, I think, are from some parties who are interested in this. It's like Aaron always says, when something leaks, you got to figure out who benefits from it leaking, right? And right. If you don't like the idea of bringing back Darvin Ham and you want to prevent that from happening, one way that you could potentially prevent it from happening is to leak that potential decision so that the people who were behind that, who would be behind that decision, see the response to what would be the really bad decision.
Right. And so you touched on the Ham part of this question. I'll, you know, let that kitchen continue to burn, but like the, I'll go to the game three part of it where he kind of spoke on, you know, what we got tonight. Look, man, I know it, like most people have already raised their surrender flags and I get all that, but I guess like your only chance is to at least start game three with some kind of momentum, have something at home, have the home crowd kind of get you into it, hopefully. And hashtag people forget. I went to rewatch game three from last year. We were down a lot of that game. Like we were down a ton in that one. Jamal Murray had 20, I think 23 at half, very eerily similar to how AD was tonight in that game three. So if you have any life left, show it off in game three. So if you're down double digits after the end of the first quarter, yeah, it's probably time to kind of turn the lights off. But I'm hopeful there's some resiliency at least in game three to make it a fight. So we'll see.
It's been a weird team, man. Like every time that you're getting ready to quit on this team, they give you some reason to believe again. And yes, maybe that comes in the form in somehow winning game three. We get another comment here. This one from, again, from Justin Tindall. I have as many points in the series as Vincent, Dinwiddie, and Hayes. Cool. I don't think it's all that cool. That's being sarcastic, right? But like that's the thing, though, right? We talked about this earlier. It's one thing to bench your starters for, you know, guys coming off of the bench who are cooking. But if your bench is combining and three big parts of your bench is combining for as many points as you and Miraj, you can't play Austin Reeves only 33 minutes. You can't. Right. And this is also like I've reported on this earlier. you and Ham really didn't see eye to eye. But Reeves and Ham had some stuff earlier this year where people in the organization were looking at that and be like, what's going on? Why doesn't Ham mess with Reeves in the way that he should? Playing Reeves only 33 minutes in a pivotal playoff game here isn't exactly going to mend that fence, right? Yeah. Isn't exactly going to fix that bridge. If anything, that's looking at the ashes, burning what's left of them, and then peeing on them to make sure that they can't come back.
Exactly. Like I would understand it, like even just a tad, if Gabe Vincent was shooting well, or if he had a couple threes, or Dinwiddie was getting off the bounce. Those dudes had zero field goals. Again, they didn't even shoot. They barely shot the ball. So, yeah, not playing your maybe – like, I know D'Lo is probably just the most talented shooter, but not playing your main kind of creator, ball handler that next to LeBron in the fourth quarter until, like, 4 minutes left, Anthony, when he's out of rhythm, that's extremely perplexing. I don't know if anyone asked about that in the post game, but that's something I'm looking for because I need an answer for that. That just – And it's not like Gabe was defending well. Jamal Murray started cooking in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
We have Gorilla writing in one more super comment. It's time to bring in Bob Myers and get rid of Pelinka. Here's my thing, and I wrote this earlier this year. I don't think Rob Pelinka has been good enough at his job to hire his third coach in whatever it is, 5 years. You know, you won a championship with a lot of the guys that were there before Rob Pelinka. He winds up, you know, moving away from those pieces, bringing in Russell Westbrook. And I know people are going to blame LeBron for that, but at the end of the day, Rob Pelinka made that final call to trade for Russ. And, you know, the process that went into hiring Vogel was bad. And then, you know, he never really, I think, understood what made that 2020 team special and moved away from it. And the further that they have gotten away from that team and hiring a coach who is this infatuated with small ball only further hammers home the point that Rob has no idea what made that 2020 team special. And now it'll never happen. I don't think Jeannie is going to fire Rob, and I don't think Rob is going to step down. But one of my kind of – I'm going to save it. But I do think there's going to be a bit of a shift in the front office this summer. I don't think Rob is going anywhere, but I do think you're going to see a bit of a shift there.
Sure, and I'll just continue in my misery, I guess, with all these people watching. But like one of the other sad things Anthony is watching – we were having this conversation, I believe, in the Slack, but who liked the Laker that got away the most, and watching KCP start for a team that's in your way, you know what I mean? That's going to beat you whatever 10, 11 or 12 straight times. And has kind of created a dynasty, honestly, with kind of his fit there after winning a title with you. And also, I don't know if you watched the Clippers game against Dallas, but Zoo had 20 and 12 and was absolutely incredible, just shutting off the paint. So these are two guys starting on teams that have championship aspirations that we really gifted away, which hurts. And Caruso's in a organization that can't really maximize the talents, obviously, with how good he is. But like you talked about the Rush trade, but the kind of the other kind of smaller deals that KCP was part of the Rush trade, but the other kind of smaller deals also that also puts me in a darker place, and I don't know really where to.
It's already dark.
It's already dark. Yes,
it's already dark, and you close your eyes.
Like exactly, like,
it's black,
right?
And you're just like, well, I can't see anyway. I'm gonna just close my eyes.
It's dark.
I will say this though, on the Bob Myers front specifically, the Lakers did have conversations with him back after Magic Johnson peaced out, and I know that people don't think too highly of Bob Myers for his role. His
commentary is not great
in drafting Wiseman. Is it Jonathan Wiseman? James Wiseman.
James.
You know, and the whole two timeline thing with the Golden State Warriors and the potential role that Myers played there. I would argue that was more of an ownership thing than it was Myers, and I still do think that Myers is good, but I don't think he would be an outsider so much as I think it would be a potential promotion to, at least in terms of PR, stem the tide of people calling for Pelinka to step aside. That's right. All I'm going to say on that front. I have to write about that, so I'm not going to get myself in more trouble there with my contractual obligations. Raj, we have been talking here for an hour and a half. And I knew that this was going to be a long show. I knew that I was going to be up late tonight. Because one way or the other, right? Either we were going to talk super duper long about the idea that holy shit, the Lakers might be able to pull this off, or we were going to talk super long about the Lakers season feeling like it's over, because as we talk, it does feel like it's over. I'm sorry. It felt like it was over yesterday. It feels like it is super over right now, right? It's the double tap from Zombieland thing where, you know, the monster runs. You never saw Zombieland, really?
Zombieland? I don't think I've heard of. I have no idea who that
Woody
is.
Harrelson? Man, you missed out on that one. That's a good fun movie. But yeah, like this game tonight, game two was the double tap, right? Like this game was you see the monster lying there on the floor and you put an extra bullet into the monster just to make sure when you turn around, the monster doesn't stand back up. And I'm going to be honest, this season has been a monstrous season. Like this has been a really frustrating year, because here's what really, really sucks, Raj. This is like the part that is going to, like, the Lakers losing tonight, that won't make me lose as much sleep. What is going to make me lose a bunch of sleep is the fact that, like, the Lakers are probably going to go out and pursue a third star, or they're going to trade some important pieces of this rotation, and we will never know what this rotation could have been.
Yeah. You
know, we'll never know. Because last year we got a quick look at what this rotation could have been, but it was, they'd only play together for like 3 weeks before they went on that run. And then this year you were hoping to be able to build on that experience, but instead the Lakers never committed to this core, you know, not just the you know, six guys from last year's team, right? AD, LeBron, Reeves, Rui, Russell, and Vanderbilt. Not even just including those guys, but like also Max Christie. He's going to be a free agent, and we have no idea what that's going to look like as well. And like it's going, you're going to go into this pivotal offseason, yet another pivotal offseason, where it's going to be, you know, a whole new shuffling of the deck, and we were never able to see what that last deck was capable of, and that's. That's the part of this, and I know it probably seems too early to be writing the obituary of the season, but here I stand. Like that's the part that tonight when my head hits the pillow, close my eyes, they're gonna open back up, because it's like we never knew.
Yeah.
We never saw Jared Vanderbilt and Rui Hachimura play together. That was not something that we ever saw over the last, you know, year and some change. That's terrible. Like. Yeah. How does that not happen?
Yeah. Just really quickly, I have a friend watching the show, and they texted me saying Zombieland is amazing. So I guess that's another one I got to put on my bucket list. I still, like, I don't know how this series goes out. I think there's still an argument in terms of what's available this summer to bring back at least some of the core, which I know that'll drive some people crazy in terms of how this series has ended. I agree with you, Anthony. I think we got 24 games of Rui starting, and it's very clear that it's just not Rui coming into the starting lineup. It kind of shape-shifted everyone else in the correct spot in the rotation. But you're right. We'll never know. Jared Vanderbilt was hurt the whole time. Gabe Vincent never really returned to any form of the guy they signed this summer that played so well in the Miami playoffs. So you have no idea what that kind of addition could have been. And you just had this over, you know, these minutes extended to Cam Reddish, who's obviously like a 13th man in a real NBA rotation, the Torian Prince playing 30 plus minutes a game for a huge stretch of the season. We'll never know. And that's a sad thing. And you're going against a team that could have honestly beat us, even if we were at our peak, even if this team played its peak performance all year, you could have ran into a buzzsaw in Denver that takes you out anyway. But you would have loved to at least have a little bit more under your belt, a little bit more practice in these clutch situations with the roster, with the lineup that you have. But you're right. You'll never know. That's a sad part of this. And even with it, I'm going to go into this. I'm still going to say if, cause it's not over yet, but if we lose this series, I'm going to go back to a lot of plays in this game too, that turn this tide. A lot of really clutch moments from Denver and non-clutch moments from our team.
what's the word that we could use it like instead of clutch, right?
Right, yeah. I couldn't even think
it
of
might
one
just
really
be Dinwiddie. BDA Pink is asking, Anthony was ranting about D'Lo for game one. Look, D'Lo was incredible in the first half, and then he disappeared once it got physical again, you know? So like you got what you needed out of the first half to keep on playing the guy. And he made some big shots in the second half, right? He made a three from the corner there that really helped stem the tide or whatever, but
But sub 10.
No, I thought the problem in this one was some of the decisions that Darvin Ham made, just going completely away from LeBron and AD running a pick and roll, going completely away from AD in general. And again, like, I think this was a culture loss. It was a culture win for Denver, and it was a culture loss for the Lakers. You know, like, this game was lost because of the makeup of this team and the makeup of this organization. And this game was won in Denver's case by the makeup of that team and the makeup of that organization.
Yeah. They can't just miss once. Like, they can't just miss one damn time.
You,
like,
just knew Murray shot was going in. He shot it, and it was, you knew.
I'm not even just talking about the Murray shot, Anthony. One of MPJ threes couldn't, like, clang off the rim. He couldn't, like, aim it incorrectly once. One of those Aaron Gordon free throws couldn't miss. Like, God, like, every single shot they needed goes in. It's like they, yep. I don't know.
BDA, yeah, you're right. D'Lo did make that crazy floater over Aaron Gordon. But again, like,
terrible
that
shot.
D'Lo deserves credit for making the shot there. And just like LeBron deserves credit for making a couple of those threes. But it's just like, it just never, the process was just not there in a way that I would have liked to seen it there. And look, like, that again, process is organizational, right? Process is culture. And, you know, the Lakers just lack that right now, you know? All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast, a longer episode. We went for an hour and 30 minutes, so I'm going to break this up into three parts, actually, rather than two. And by the way, like, I know I'm working out some of the kinks in making sure that is executed properly and releasing them at the right time so that they show up in the right order on your guys' feeds. I appreciate the patience that you guys have shared there. I thought we would reach 5,000 viewers for this. We have just officially crossed 7,000 viewers. 7,000 of you are tuned in right now. So, you know, again, the amount of support that you guys have showed us, despite it being a frustrating season, has been pretty incredible. And hopefully we'll have a productive offseason so that, you know, next year we can get that kind of support on a team that we actually like. And with a head coach who knows what he's doing. Tomorrow the plan is to record an episode with a guest, working on that guest right now, to kind of look ahead to what's left in the series and maybe look ahead to what comes after the series. Yes, Seth's saying 7,000 disappointed people. Yeah. Yeah, that's about right. That's like what it was like when I graduated high school. It was like a whole bunch of people disappointed that, like, we all graduated high school. Congrats. And most of you are going to go to college and, you know, maybe not do anything with it. But anyway, until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Chapalu. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button. Fire away with those comments. I get an email for every one of your guys' comments. I read all of them, every single one of them. I read them. And if one annoys me, I reply. But I do read all of them, and I take them into account, not just for, like, that show and the execution of that show, but also building this thing out moving forward. So keep those things coming as well. Keep the 5-star review questions coming as well. And until the next time you guys hear from us, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we will talk to you mañana.